Well, this morning, I just want to start off saying the church is the body of Jesus in the earth today. We've been called to represent him in this world. Jesus to a lost world. That's what we're supposed to be. How can we possibly do that? I don't know about you, but I feel pretty weak when you talk about being Jesus to the world. How can we possibly do that? Well, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 and beginning in verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He's speaking to the disciples here, he says, because he dwells with you and he will be in you. The same one, this Jesus who was with the disciples, he is in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. How can we be the body of Jesus? How can we represent Jesus in this world? How could we possibly be Jesus to somebody? It is because Jesus lives inside of the believer. That's how we can. And we just need to allow the Holy Spirit to live big in us. The day and the time in which we live, I think this speaks to us, to our generation, that it's in 2 Timothy 2:18. Paul talks about those who have wandered from the truth. They've just wandered away from the truth. And I think there are many believers today that have lost their way. They've forgotten what's really important as a follower of Jesus. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are representing him to a lost world. And we need to be learning his ways. We need to be taking on his character in our life. This is what's really important. You see, we're representing Jesus in this world. We're his body in the world today. It's not just a saying. If somebody's going to see Jesus, it's going to be in me and you. Now, as I said, that's a tall order. But the Holy Spirit inside of us, he is working in our lives and working through us. So we need to understand this morning that what's really important is that we're the body of Jesus in the world today, that we're letting Jesus work through us today. There's so many distractions, so many other things that we could get caught up in and be distracted with and pulled away from the commission, the goal, the purpose for which Jesus has us here in this world. That's why we're still here. I want to tell you, if all it was to get saved and go to heaven, then when you got saved, God would just take you on to heaven. He's got you here for a reason. We're to represent him. And the Holy Spirit inside of you is able to make you more and more like Jesus. If we, as the church, are judging and pointing the finger at the world, the truth is, we just become less and less like Jesus because Jesus never did that. But the Pharisees did. And we have lost our way if we find ourselves in that place where we just want to judge and point the finger at the world. That's not why we're here. No, we're here to reach the world. We're here to be Jesus to the world. I think a lot of people don't really even know what a genuine follower of Christ looks like or should look like. You know, anybody can call themselves a Christian, but we need to know what the real thing is. And Matthew chapter 7 in verse 16, Jesus says that you'll know them by their fruits. Now, he was talking about both good and bad because he says a good tree is going to bear good fruit. A bad tree is going to bear bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. Bad tree can't bear good fruit. But you know them, he says, by their fruits. And I'm just telling you that for us as the people of God, as his church, We need to know what that fruit looks like in our life. What kind of fruit do we have in our life? And we're going to begin a series today on the fruit of the Spirit. I want to remind you, Jesus said, you must be born again. And then he explained what that meant. He said, you must be born of the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer. And because we've been born of the Spirit of God, we're a new creation in Christ. We have a new nature because that Holy Spirit lives inside of us. 2 Peter 1:4 says that we are partakers of His divine nature. We really are His children. I know some people in the world say, oh, we're all children of God. Not true. But here's what is true, is that everybody that's been born again is truly His child, born of Him, born of His Spirit. And that Spirit that's in us gives us a new nature. We all know this, but we need to think about it a little bit this morning. We all still deal with an old nature, a sinful nature that everybody in Adam's race was born with. But we also have a new nature since we are born of the Spirit of God. And Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. He says, live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Live by the Spirit, and you won't end up doing what that old sinful nature wants to do. Verse 17, he says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Every believer, you've got that old sinful nature that will always try to raise itself up. It'll always try to go one way. And here's what you need to know. It is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit wants something different than what that old nature wants. So one guy said, you know, men and women, they want different things. Well, sometimes they want different things. Let me tell you something. The flesh or that old nature and your new nature, the Spirit of God in you, they are always contrary with one another. They want different things. And the way that you can overcome that old nature, it is by living by the Spirit. He says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Now, when he says you're not under law, he's not really talking about the Old Testament law. No, he's talking about the law of sin and death. In Romans 8:2, he says, we've been set free from the law of sin and death by the Spirit. And you see, that old law that you just can't win, that you just can't overcome that sinful nature, that doesn't apply to you anymore because you've been set free from it by the law of the Spirit of life. And you need to see this morning, there is a way you can overcome your old nature. There is a way that you can do the things that you know you should do. I think I skipped that, but I want to read this in verse 17. He says, they are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. We've all experienced it. That you knew what you should do and you didn't do it because that old nature won. But here's the key, he says. But if you're led of the Spirit, then you're not under that law of that old law of sin and death. That's how you overcome. That's how you live this life that God has called you to. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you allow Him to lead and guide you. You allow yourself to walk in the Spirit, to stay in tune with the Spirit. I'm glad the Word of God doesn't just tell us what our problem is, but it also tells us what the answer is. The problem is we're all born with a sinful nature. I mean, you can go to any preschool class and you can watch the children take toys from each other and hit and bite each other and get mad and cry. And you know what? You don't have to teach them to do any of that. They know how to do it. Now, when we get a little older, hopefully it manifests in a different way, right? But we all still have that old nature inside of us. We all still have those same kinds of tendencies, but it's by the Spirit of God that we can overcome that. Paul tells the Galatians that the sinful nature is obvious, and he lists out a lot of the acts, a lot of the attitudes of the sinful nature, things like hatred and discord and jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. And how do you overcome those things? If we live by the Spirit, we can overcome those things. And then he comes to verse 22 and 23, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You see, the flesh, that old nature, it produces all of that selfishness and all of that bitterness and anger. But the Holy Spirit produces something also instead of. You see, the Holy Spirit produces these things. Here's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And I want you to hear me now. In the body of Christ, those are the traits, those are the characteristics of Jesus that we should be seeing in our life every day. Every day, those characteristics should be being developed in our life. We're growing in the Lord. We're becoming more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is producing His fruit in our life. I think a lot of believers just kind of forget about the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't take one step without the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need His help, His guidance. He's the helper. That's what Jesus said. You need His help, His guidance every step of every day. Whatever we're doing. And if we just, you know, aren't even giving thought to the Holy Spirit, then so often we'll just end up being a carnal Christian. Still a Christian, but allowing the old nature to have its way instead of allowing that new nature of the Holy Spirit to have His way in our life. But we want to see that fruit of the Spirit shown in our life. A lot of the time when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we just stop with verse 23. So I want to go on to Galatians 24 and 25 this morning. He says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature. Have you crucified the sinful nature? How do you do that? By faith, you put that old nature, that sinful nature, on the cross with Christ. By faith, you recognize that that old nature died on the cross with Jesus. By faith, you do it. You put it on the cross with Jesus. That's what Paul was talking about when he said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. You see, we put that old nature on the cross with Christ, and then we allow Jesus to live in us. It's not us just living anymore, but it's Jesus through the Holy Spirit living in us. In verse 25 of Galatians 5, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Oh, and what a key that is, that we just have to constantly be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have to yield to Him. We can't just react to life or react to people, but instead we respond in the way that the Holy Spirit directs us to. He will prompt you. He will give you a leading. He'll guide you somehow if we'll just yield to Him and allow Him to show us what to do. So often we just react in an instant, and it is always our carnal flesh, but instead we need to be careful to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to show us what to do, that we keep in step with the Spirit. When Jesus lives inside of you by the Spirit, then you can really be the person that Jesus wants you to be. A real follower of Jesus, they're going to have the fruit of the Spirit in their life. You know, Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. And here's the thing, you can't just change the fruit. You got to change the root. Amen. Right. If you got a fruit problem, you got a root problem. Right. And here's the problem, you can't live by that old sinful nature. You got to live by the Spirit. That's the only way that you can change the fruit in your life. Sometimes with religion, with teaching, you know, we try to change some of the fruit just with the religion of man. We identify things that are bad, and we say, oh, you don't want that. Or we identify something that's good, and we say, oh, this is how we should be. And so we say, well, I'm just going to try harder. I'm just going to do better. I'm just going to love my enemies somehow. But here's the thing. It doesn't ever really work. You can't change the fruit without changing the root. One little boy, he wanted to grow some tomatoes, and so he got him some tomato plants, and he put them in the garden, and it was just a bad year for tomatoes. I had that happen before. It just seemed like tomatoes just wouldn't make that year. But his mom felt sorry for him because the little guy was so excited about his tomato plants. And so she went to the store and she bought some tomatoes and she taped those tomatoes onto his plants. And that's kind of what religion tries to do a lot of the time. We know we're supposed to love people, and so, you know what, we'll just put on a fake smile and we'll just try a little harder and try a little harder. But here's the thing. The only way to really love people the way you're supposed to is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us what we need so that we can truly love other people. The first part of the fruit of the Spirit is love, the love of God. It is a selfless, giving, sacrificial love. You know, it makes sense that that would be the first part of the fruit of the Spirit, because Jesus said this is the most important thing. It's you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself. That's the main thing. And you know what? We got to always keep the main thing the main thing. But the foremost result of being led by the Spirit, having the Holy Spirit in your life, is that you love people. Amen. Some people say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, that's this, it does that. Well, here's the main thing. It'll cause you to love everybody. Yeah, it's kind of like that old song, give me that old time religion, makes me love everybody. Two of you know what I'm talking about. But you get the idea. I'm telling you, we need that kind of faith that makes you love everybody, because that's what Jesus said we're supposed to do. Where do grapefruits come from? South Texas. No, that's not what I mean. They come from grapefruit trees. Where does love come from? It comes from God. You know, I know that because the Bible tells me in 1 John 4:7, the New King James, it says love is of God. And the NASB, it says love is from God. And the NIV, it says love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. You see, it's not talking about the world's kind of love. It's talking about the God kind of love. What I told you, it's selfless. It's sacrificial. It's giving. That's the God kind of love. And everyone who loves is born of God. It takes the Holy Spirit in your life to help you to love people the way that God wants you to. We're not just talking about, you know, a love that's based on a physical attraction. We're not talking about a love that's based on emotion. No, it's based on something much deeper than that. You know, when Jesus tells us to love our enemies, I want to say, that's not natural. Anybody agree with me? Amen. I mean, I have never felt love for my enemies. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Right. It takes the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural thing to be able to love your enemies. But that's what we're supposed to do. And I'll tell you, as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our lives, we can do that. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves is born of God. You, as a born-again Christian, you are His child. You are a partaker of His divine nature. We just need to act a little bit more like our Heavenly Father. Yes. And we need to see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives every day, starting with this one, the love of God. Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And there it is again. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us that supernatural kind of love. We all know this, but even when you're born again, you can still be carnal. You can still be difficult and ugly and treat people wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody seen somebody doing like that? Born again Christian? Three of you. Well, anybody been that person? There we go. Now we're owning it. I'm telling you, you can still be ugly. You can still act hateful if you want to. You see, God doesn't just zap us and take away our free will. No, we still can give in to that old nature if we want to. But we need to understand that we've been set free from that old nature. It no longer has a hold on us. But we got to make that choice to walk in the Spirit. We got to make a choice to love others. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." Be imitators of God. It's become cliche now, but for the last couple of decades at least, it's been popular to ask, what would Jesus do? And I want to tell you, it is so scriptural to ask yourself that question. What would Jesus do? We're supposed to imitate Him. In every situation and circumstance of life and relationships and our dealing with people, we need to ask ourselves, rather, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, what would Jesus do in this situation? Be imitators of God. We're supposed to act like Him. And then he says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Another translation says, live a life of love. See, we're supposed to imitate Jesus in this way, that we walk in love. Everywhere we go, whatever we do, we want to do it in love. That's what and who we're supposed to be. But we got to choose to be loving. It doesn't just happen automatic. But the key is that we let the Holy Spirit lead and guide our life, and it is the Holy Spirit that produces this fruit in our lives. In John 15, 12 and 13, Jesus says, "This is my commandment." And I want to remind you, it is a command. And you know what that tells me? That we have a choice. You can disobey or you can obey, but it is a command. He says that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down than to lay down his life for his friends. See, we don't love like the world does. We don't just love when it's convenient. We don't just love those who love us. Our love is not conditional. It's not just reciprocal. It's unselfish. It's forgiving. It's giving. Jesus says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. We've got to love like Jesus did. This is a greater love than no man has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And then he says, I lay it down. Nobody's taking it from me. I lay it down. Are we willing to lay down our pride to love people? Are we willing to lay down what we want? To be unselfish? Are we willing to lay down our rights to love people? Jesus said, nobody takes it from me. I freely lay it down. And I'm telling you, if we're going to love like Jesus, more than just talk here, right? We don't love just in word or tongue, but indeed in truth. That's what 1 John 3:18 says. We're going to make it real in truth that we got to do with the things that Jesus did. We got to be willing to lay down our life in order to love other people. In John 13, 34 and 35, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is the proof that we are truly followers of Jesus. I said at the beginning, anybody can call themselves a Christian, but even in the eyes of the world, here is the proof that you follow Jesus, that you love other people. the way he loves other people. Love one another as I have loved you. That's supposed to be the earmark of the church. That's supposed to be what we are known for. Is it? I like that song we're doing frequently right now about the miracles and things that God does, and we say, do what you are famous for. But you know what? I think that we need to realize that this is what the church is supposed to be famous for, is that we love people. Even the world knows. He said, all will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. That's what we're supposed to be known for. I don't think that's what a lot of people who claim to be Christian are known for. Instead, they're known for, by and large, for what they're against. I thought it might get quiet when I said that. Listen, I'm not talking about anything goes. Oh, I'm not preaching that at all. But I'm just telling you this, that what we're supposed to be known for is not what we're against, but that we love people. The Pharisees were known for what they were against. Pretty much everything, they're against it. You know what I'm saying? But that sounds like a lot of believers today. That's not who we are. That's not what we're about. Here's who we are. Here's what we're about, is that God's Spirit is in us, and it makes us love people. We just got to be willing to allow him to lead and guide us. And I'm telling you, you'll love people, even when they don't deserve it. In fact, you know what? Everybody needs love. Especially the ones that don't deserve it. I mean, it's easy when you think somebody deserves it. I mean, when they've been loving and kind to you, Jesus says even the pagans do that. He says, how are you any different? Here's how we're different. Because we love even the ones that don't deserve it. We love our enemies. What do you want to be known for? If the Lord were to come back soon, or let me put it this way, if you were to leave this life in the near future, what would you want to be remembered for? I would like to be known for being a preacher that preaches the truth no matter what. I'd like to be known for being tough. I'd like to be known for being smart. I'd like to be known for being really good looking. I knew y'all would laugh at me. But I've realized that at my age, if I'm going to be known for being loving, if the key thing that people would remember about me was that I was loving, I need to get at it. I need to learn how to be more loving. I need the Holy Spirit to live big in me in this area and help me be more like Jesus, that I really love people all the time, that I'm not just doing what I want ever, but I'm truly allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide my life. And I want to challenge you this morning to make this the thing that you are known for, not in some kind of a spiritual pride, of course, but just that we truly want to be like our Savior. We want to imitate Him and live a life of love. And I challenge you. See, we've wandered away from that truth. This is who we're supposed to be. This is the main thing. And everybody will know that we're His disciples if we love one another. It's not our list of do's and don'ts that sets us apart from the world. And we certainly should shun the appearance of evil. But when it's all said and done, the lost around us will see our Christianity as just another religion unless we love one another the way that Jesus said to. Amen. That's the thing that makes it different. Listen, our faith is different in so many ways. But think about this. Ours is the only one that tells us that God has come to live inside of us. That's why we can be truly different, because he lives inside of us. Oh, let's be different. Let's let the Holy Spirit bring this fruit out in our life that others will see it. Jesus, always our example, how he loved the lost. I think there's too much animosity between believers and unbelievers. Jesus didn't have animosity for unbelievers. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He loved them. That's how you and I got saved. And we need to realize that every person in this world, it's not our place to judge them unworthy. No, it's our place to love them and to reach out to them. Jesus loved the slimy little tax collector named Zacchaeus. He loved him. He said, I'm coming to your house. Everybody was shocked that day. He's going to the house of a thief. Jesus loved that Mary Magdalene that he cast seven devils out of. What kind of woman was that? Jesus loved her. And she was the first to see the risen Lord. That's the love of God. He's our example of how we should love people. It's what sets us apart. That's the real thing. It's when we love one another. And even the world knows it. If we want to reach people, we got to focus on loving people. You absolutely should talk to people about the Lord. But if you do it for any other motivation than that you love them, it won't be fruitful. It has to be born out of that heart of love. That you share the gospel, you talk to people about the Lord, you tell them what God has done in your life because you care about them and you love them. William Barclay said, more people have been brought into the church by the kindness of real Christian love than by all the theological arguments in the world. And more people have been driven from the church by the hardness and ugliness of so-called Christianity than by all the doubts in the world. In other words, listen, it's so vital that we love people. Amen. If we're going to reach anybody, we got to love them. And the fruit of the Spirit is something that shows. Other people can see it. It has to come out in the way we live our lives each and every day, the way that we treat people. As I'm telling you, the Spirit will lead you to love people in a selfless, giving kind of love. One pastor was standing in line at the grocery store, and there's a little boy in front of him that was buying some candy, and the little boy emptied the change out of his pocket. And the cashier said, you're 12 cents short. The little boy didn't know what to do. He just looked at her, and the cashier said, again, you're 12 cents short. Well, the pastor in line behind him, of course, he stepped forward, and he says, hey, I've got 12 cents. And he laid it out there, and the little boy turned and smiled at him. And he said, hey, you're that preacher, aren't you? I'm glad that Jesus makes people nice like you. That's the way it ought to be, that Jesus makes people nice. Yes. Amen. He makes us love everybody. And I'm going to tell you the truth this morning, that most of the time love is going to cost you more than 12 cents. Right. That preacher got off easy, didn't he? But oh, how we ought to be quick to look for an opportunity. Yes. Not just to say, but to show that we love other people. The thing about love is all of us can do it. Everybody that's been born of the Spirit, it's in you. Right. You don't have to be talented, gifted, good looking. You don't even have to be smart. You can love people. Amen. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and it just gives us a description of love there, and I think when we talk about love, a lot of the time people get confused about that because of the way the word love is used in our world. But I want you to see some spiritual truth here in 1 Corinthians 13. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal." See, it doesn't matter what gifts you have and how gifted of a communicator that you might be. It doesn't matter if you speak in tongues. I'm just telling you, if it's done without love, it's just a bunch of racket. It's got to be because of love. Whenever we talk to people, it always has to be because of love. When we witness, it has to be because of love. For our witness to be effective, love has to be the motivation. It can't be any kind of spiritual pride or selfish ambition. No, it has to be because of love. The next verse, he says, "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing." Wow. Prophecy, fathom all mysteries, all knowledge. Doesn't matter how much spiritual knowledge you have acquired, how you can quote the Bible. Doesn't matter what gift you have of prophecy or preaching. If it's not done with love, it won't bear any fruit. It's fruitless. He says, "If I have faith that can move mountains." Now, you know what? If you were to ask most Christians, would you rather have love or would you rather have faith that can move mountains? Ooh, hallelujah, I'll take that faith that can move mountains. Well, it won't do any good because it doesn't work without love. We can brag about how God has blessed us and how, you know, he's just financially poured into our lives. But you know what? That just sounds like bragging to the world. It sounds like pride and arrogance to the world. No, our motivation and whatever we do and however our gifts are used, it always has to be because of love. You can have your doctrine all together. You can prove that you're right. Nobody cares. They don't know, or they don't care what you know until they know you care. Amen. We got to remember the reason we do what we do. I read a story about a lady that went to the hospital, and she was so amazed with all of the modern technology and advancements in the medical field. She said it was just like science fiction almost. But she said that it seemed like at this hospital, even though it was so modern and so progressive, it seemed like that the people there didn't care about patients. And I just want to say to you, it doesn't matter how great our technology is. Doesn't matter how great our giftings are. It doesn't matter how great of a show we put on. It has to be because of love. Everything that we do, the love has to be there, or it's just empty and it doesn't bear fruit. In verse 3, he says, "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." So you can give your money away and give it to the church, you can give it to the poor. But you know what? When it's all said and done, if you did it for any other reason than love, it won't accomplish anything. He says, "If I give my body to the flames," you know what? That sounds really spiritual. But even that, it can't just be out of some kind of pride or some kind of spiritual, you know, wanting spiritual brownie points. No, it has to be you gave it because of love. That has to be the motivation. The scripture says, for whatever we do. And then he goes into this description beginning in verse 4. He tells us what love looks like. This is how it shows up in your life. Love is patient. It's not short with people. Doesn't get disgusted with the faults and flaws, the weaknesses of others. No, it's patient. Love is kind. Love is nice to people. It'll just be nice. And I'm telling you, little acts of kindness will open doors for you to be able to talk to people about the Lord. Kindness, acts of kindness will draw people to you. They will want to hear what you have to say. Amen. Then it says it does not envy. Love wants the best for others. It's glad when others are blessed. It does not boast. It is not proud. Pride is so ugly. And spiritual pride is the worst kind, not only to God, but to a lost world. Right. It's a turnoff to people. Jesus said, "Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart." And if we understand our place in Christ, we don't ever have a reason to brag, but only to brag on God and talk of what He has done for us. Love will lift others up. Verse 5, it says, it is not rude. Love is not pushy. It's always polite. It's not self-seeking. What a difference from the love of the world where it's all about what I want. No, this kind of love isn't seeking its own. It's seeking the best for others. It's unselfish. It's giving. It keeps no record of wrongs. Your old nature will say, remember what they did to you? But your new nature will say, forgive, just as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. Keeps no record of wrongs. Have you got a record going? It's time to get rid of that. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. See, one of the ideas of the world about love, and sometimes they even try to cast this on the church, but you know, their idea of love is that, well, if you love everybody, then anything goes. Absolutely not. That's not real love. No, we speak the truth to people, but we speak the truth in love. That's what it says. Speak the truth in love. But we don't rejoice in evil, but in the truth. Verse 7, he says, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. Love overcomes. Love will win. You got problems in your family? Keep loving them. You got problems in the workplace? Keep loving them. Is there somebody that, maybe a neighbor that's causing trouble for you? Keep loving them. Somebody that's mistreated you, done you wrong? Keep loving them. Love wins. That's what the love of God looks like. His love wins. And love is what the Spirit produces in our life. I just want to give you this real simple illustration before we close this morning. That old nature and the Holy Spirit in your life. It's like having a bad friend and a good friend. And that bad friend, they're always encouraging you, saying, if it feels good, do it. Don't let them get away with that. You got to take care of number one. That bad friend, he's always going to get you in trouble. The good friend, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that's telling you to love the unlovable. He's the one, he'll say, hey, you got to forgive that person. He's the one that will tell you, help that person. Right. Amen. Bail them out. I'm not going to help that person. They got themselves in a mess. You sound like a judgmental Pharisee when you say that kind of stuff. We all got ourselves in a mess, and our God got us out because He loves us. He paid the price. He stepped up. He paid the ultimate price to get you out of a mess. Yes, He did, and that's who we're called to be. And the Holy Spirit will prompt you to love people in an unselfish way. He's that good friend. And I'm telling you, this is who God wants us to be in this world. He wants us to imitate Him, to be like Jesus, to be the body of Christ in the world today. That's our new nature. That's who we are as a born-again Christian, that His love is to be seen in our life every day. God is love, and we are born of Him. By the Holy Spirit, His love has been poured into our hearts so we can do this. It's Him inside of us, loving people. And the more that we allow the Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to prompt us, the more that we'll be like Him, loving other people. Amen. He is love, and He's living in you. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray.